Welcome, everybody, back to the Friar Talk podcast and YouTube channel. For today's episode, we're going to be talking about this Dodgers series. We're also going to be talking about the Diamondback series as well. I feel like it probably makes a little bit more sense to talk about the Diamondback series first, just because that was the one that happened beforehand. But yeah, we look at the series and the game. It starts off a loss on that opening game of the week on Monday. And then the Padres have the epic comeback on Tuesday, which I feel like kind of flip the switch a little bit just for this team, just because, I mean, we've seen it's been a little bit frustrating watching the Padres lately. And so we were, I think, saying some stuff in our group chat, like, oh my gosh, like, again, like, no offense, nothing. That was needed so badly. Like, that was perfect. I don't know how, but Jorge Alfaro has turned into, like, the most ridiculous clutch hitter this season. I kind of just wonder, like, how many times is this dude about to come up in a clutch moment and then drive in the game-winning run? Because, wait, it's three times now. But phenomenal season in terms of his ability to come up with these big-time hits. And then next game, pretty solid offensive showing. But overall, I feel like a very positive series against the Diamondbacks. Another thing about that series, too, is that the Padres are almost like a lock to make the playoffs at this point. Because if they can just go 500 for the rest of the year, the Brewers have to win a stupid amount of games to pass them up. And so let's say the Padres go under 500, the Brewers are still going to have to win so many games. So it would take an absolute meltdown, like way worse than last year, for them to miss the playoffs. But it was getting a little bit scary. I'm not going to lie. A couple days ago, where it's just like, oh God, like, is this team going to choke like last year again? But doesn't feel that way. And maybe not in the most positive way of like, oh, the Padres are playing well, but it's more of like, yeah, I don't think they're going to miss out in the playoffs because the Brewers are doing everything they can to not make the playoffs. So Chase, we can go over this Diamondback series quick, 'cause I do want to talk about the upcoming series, but what were your thoughts about it?
You mentioned it, dude. Alfaro just kind of did his thing. I feel like every time we're in a down situation in the bottom of the ninth and Alfaro's up at the plate, just feels like it's always going to be a walk-off. It's just incredible. He's just been the most clutch hitter in the game, or at least on the Padres. Yesterday was a great showing. I'm not going to lie, was in doubt when Darvish gave up those two home runs. I think I texted the chat after those two home runs. I'm like, oh, it's going to be one of those nights. And then they put up three that inning. I'm like, okay, you know what? Never mind. I'm just panicking just because the way they've been playing these past few weeks. But you come out with two out of three against the Diamondbacks, who have been red hot. I mean, they are now, I believe, in third place. They overtook the Giants, or they're tied. No, they're half a game up on the Giants. But they were playing some really good baseball. Their pitchers are doing great. I think we won against Merrill Kelly, which is rare.
Dude, that was a comeback. And at one point, with three runs on two hits?
Yeah. I honestly didn't think we were going to win that game. Myers hit another home run. The bats are starting to come alive again. It was a little scary seeing Soto go down with that injury. Honestly, when I saw him go down, I didn't see where it hit him, and it looked like it hit him. It looked like he was holding his hand. I'm like, there's no way it just hit him in his hand. The replay showed the back of the shoulder. Hopefully it doesn't affect him tonight or tomorrow. We'll see if they end up playing tonight, because there's supposed to be rain and it might get rained out, but we'll see. But overall, that was a really good series to watch. The guys did their thing. They won. Hopefully they can carry that momentum into the Dodgers series and hopefully hit May again like they did last time, but we'll see.
Yeah, real quick before we get into the Dodger stuff, because I know that that's probably, I think, what most people are excited about, and I know that there's actually a lot of Dodger fans that will tune into the show, especially for, like, the prediction stuff, so they're probably like, all right, you guys are really talking about the Diamondback series like that. But before we get into it, this is an excellent tweet from Devin. Azekar walk is highly unappreciated. Dude, that was a phenomenal at-bat, and every single time, I have a soft spot for Azekar just because it's like, okay, this guy's like 25, 26. This is probably his only like true shot at the MLB. He was so locked in, and it was so sick to see him draw that walk. And he was so hyped too. Like, he does a little mini bat flip and like looks at the dugout and kind of hypes him up. When Azekar got walked and Alfaro was coming up, I was like, oh yeah, this is a dub. This is they're getting the hit. They're winning the game right here. I felt so confident, even though like it was still, I don't know, just the whole game, that was just a crazy comeback. So I did want to shout out Jose Azucar because that was a great at bat. We'll talk about him later, and we can talk about like different guys, and different things about that past that Diamondback series. But let's get into this LA series. So first off, you were right. You mentioned that it's probably the game's probably going to get delayed today. So I'm guessing there'll be a doubleheader on probably Saturday. Right? I feel like Saturday makes a little bit more sense. So either Saturday or Sunday, there's probably going to be a doubleheader. And I haven't looked at the weather, but unless there's more rain one of those days. But the probable starters are Dustin May and Mike Clevinger tonight or for the doubleheader. Urias and Snell on Saturday, and then Heaney and Musgrove on Sunday. So this isn't the Padres' best group of starters just because Darvish has been probably their best pitcher for quite some time now, maybe outside of Snell. I mean, Snell's been really good. So you got kind of the best matchup of the weekend is definitely Urias against Snell. That's a sick game. Heaney, Musgrove, I know Heaney has really good numbers, but I think Musgrove's better. The problem is that Musgrove has been like, and I had mentioned it last time, but he had kind of gone to a little bit of a rut, and then it looked like he had climbed out of it, and then he got the rough outing last time. So he hasn't really been the best lately, and he also hasn't pitched against the Dodgers super well, so I'm not like super confident in him. Clev is probably the guy I'm least confident in right now in the staff outside of Manaea, because he has not been good lately. So I am concerned about that. But it's really annoying, dude. Every time I feel like the Padres have played the Dodgers, they haven't been really, I don't think there's one series where like, if they have two or three guys that are pitching really well, it's been those guys on the mound. It's always like, oh, this guy's been struggling. This guy's going to pitch. And this is the case again. Urias was phenomenal last time. May got kind of rocked, which I was really surprised by. Kind of like based on the past, I would have guessed that to be the opposite, where Urias wouldn't pitch that well and May would pitch well against the Padres, just because that's typically how it's been. And I'm not trying to knock Urias. He's been phenomenal, but he also hasn't been the best when it's come up to matchups against the Padres. But yeah, this is another tough series. Every time you play the Dodgers, it's going to be a tough series, and this is definitely going to be a tough one.
Oh, yeah. I have been really concerned about Clev, just because when you look at it, earlier in the season, he was throwing 96, 95, and then I believe his last two outings, he's been sitting in the low 90s. It's kind of a little concerning to see that drop in velocity. I mean, we saw the same thing with Paddock last year. Where he dropped in velocity is when he really struggled. And when people have started to hit Clev, they've made some pretty hard contact on him. So it's been one of those things where, yeah, he's been throwing all right, but his ERA is inflated to nearly 4. You're facing the stacked Dodgers. So if his velo dips and he misses, the Dodgers are going to take advantage of it. So I'm not entirely confident in tomorrow's game or today's game if we win, if it doesn't get rained out. But hopefully Clev goes up there and does his thing. Musgrove, I'm not – like you said, he's kind of been in that little rut where he's on the verge of getting out, but – he'll start off either really well and then start to fade. Like it's like fatigue gets to him a little bit earlier than it did last year. Or he starts off a little rocky and then settles down like 2 or 3 innings later, but the damage is already done by then. So going against the Dodgers, you can't really have either or. You kind of have to be perfect. If not, the Dodgers are going to take advantage of every little mistake, just because realistically, they're the team to beat. They have the best record in the league. They are almost at 100 wins. It's just, I'm looking at their run differential right now compared to the rest of the league. The Yankees are in second, and it's not close, the run differential. The Dodgers are at plus 298. The Yankees are at plus 195. And they're in second for run differential. So Dodgers are clearly the best team. They hit runners in scoring position, which we struggle to do. I mean, we got a little bit better last series, but we still lead the league with runners left on base. It's going to be a tough series. I think tomorrow is definitely going to be the best matchup you have Snell, who's been balling out, and Urias, who, if he continues to do well, might put himself in the Cy Young race. So I can see us taking 2 out of 3 if Musgrove or Snell pitch well. But if both of them struggle, yeah, we're going taking 1 out of 3.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And I think that it's also kind of a bummer. Like, I would rather see Snell not go against Urias, just because you look at it and like, okay, that's going to be a tough matchup. I'd rather have Snell go against like Heaney or someone like that. So, I mean, the Padres have just not been good against the Dodgers. That's the other thing. They look flat. It also feels like every single time they play the Dodgers, and this year they've lost every single series. Every single time they play them and they lose, it's almost like there's like a mini hangover from the loss the next week. Have you noticed that? Like, it's like, dude, what happened? You guys died last weekend? Like, how did you just, there's just like no energy or anything after those series. So hopefully that's not the case. Last time when we were talking about the last weekend series against the Dodgers, my thing was, okay, you go and you get the win on Friday, and that's going to give you some momentum. Now, we also talked about this. The problem was that Saturday was a guaranteed L. So it was like, okay, yeah, you get some momentum, and then you know that Manaea is going to get rocked. And then, oh, what do you know? Manaea got rocked. And then it was kind of like, okay, like, could you win Sunday? And then Sunday's game was kind of up and down. And then, of course, who else but Trace Thompson hits a colossal home run. You know, okay, awesome. But yeah, this is going to be, I think, a pretty good series. I don't know if the Padres are going to win the series. I would probably bet on one game. I would absolutely love to see them win two games. Like, they need to win one of these series before the playoffs. Now, I will also say this. I would find it absolutely hilarious if the Padres were to lose every single series against the Dodgers in the regular season and then beat them in a playoff series. That would actually be more ideal. Like, I'd rather them, if we can guarantee that, I'd rather them lose out like against the Dodgers. But it's going to be tough matchups either way. I really wonder how May pitches against the Dodgers this time, or against the Padres this time, just because he has been really good, but last time he didn't look too good and he's kind of still coming back. So I think that's probably the most fascinating side in terms of the matchup against the Dodgers pitching that I want to see. But yeah, I mean, Clev hasn't been good. Musgrove hasn't been that good. I don't want to say he's been like terrible or anything. He hasn't been terrible, but just hasn't really been like he was earlier on in the year. But yeah, I think this is, I really hope the game doesn't get rained out either today, because I'm doing nothing tonight and I was looking forward to watching it. like, I have nothing planned at all. So I was hoping that was going to be the case. But I did want to say, to bring up a couple of different things that were brought up here. Hader has looked a little bit better now. Dude, he actually has looked a little bit better. Because before, when he was coming out, it was like, oh, he's spiking that pitch. He's throwing his fastball way high. Sliders hitting guys are like, you know, just all over the place. He has looked a lot better. So I think that if he can be the closer, that would be really nice, because I mean, you guys can go back and watch the video that we did when Josh Hader got traded to the Padres, but we were hyped. We're like, look at this, best closer in the league. Since then, he's probably been the worst player in the MLB since he's been traded to the Padres. But him working out would be big time. So Chase, I don't know how much you got to see of Hader last couple outings, but what do you kind of think if he can be good? Like, what kind of impact that will have on the team? Because I think it'd be tremendous.
It definitely would be, because then you have a 1-2 punch in Martinez and Hader. Like, you don't have to have Hader closing. And I think having Hader and Luis Garcia and Suarez as those high leverage 7-8, possibly going into the sixth inning, having one of those high leverage arms, because then you can realistically put your best pitcher in the worst situation and hopefully they get out of it, because that's what they're there for. It's kind of like you can use them like we did Drew Pomeranz. You know, Drew Pomeranz didn't always close. He came out with the most high leverage situation that they needed to get out of, and he was the guy to do it. And if you can have Suarez, Hader, and Martinez be those guys, then it absolutely helps the Padres in the long run. And like right now, yeah, you're not really fighting for a playoff spot. You're more or less fighting to stay in the second seed, because realistically, you don't want to fall to the third seed and play the Cardinals is what it would look like. Though, do you want to play Atlanta? You probably do want to fall to the third spot because you're at the place, the Cardinals and the Braves. So one of those things where it's like, yeah, hopefully they figure that out later so you can fall a little bit, because realistically, if you get to choose your spot into the playoffs at this point, much rather face the Cardinals than the Braves. So I would try to lose by half a game so Philly goes up. But
yeah,
that would be phenomenal for them.
I was wondering that. I really wonder, like, if we look at this, okay, like, I don't know. I think it's kind of tough because the Padres also played the Braves well over the past few years too. The difference is that the Braves pitching since they last played them has got tremendous, like, way better. It's been way better. Yeah. So that's what I think is kind of the difference. But no, I feel like also, no, you know what you want? This is what you want. Wait, no, never mind. I almost said something ridiculous. I almost said you want to play the Mets, but then I was like, wait a second.
You don't want to play the Mets.
No. We talked about this. I would be cool if they played the Mets. I would go to that series. That'd be nice. Well, maybe not. Maybe it wouldn't be nice to see them get smoked by DeGrom. But I don't know. I feel like if Hader can be good, that'd be huge for the bullpen. That'd be huge for a postseason stretch, a little bit of a run. I'm trying to think of like anyone else that like I really want to talk about. We talked about Soto a little bit, about his slump. I don't think it's anything to look into like crazy. I don't know who else like are you thinking like right now like that we should really be talking about? I guess we could talk about how concerned we are about Clev. I'm pretty concerned about Clev. He's not looking good. But you already kind of mentioned it too with his velo being down. Also, Chase, I don't know if you know this, but this is the year where he's thrown the most fastballs of his career. Like, he's throwing fastballs at a way higher rate than typical. And now his fastball velo's down, and it's not looking as good, and he's getting rocked. He has not looked good. But also, it's not like he's been starting games and just looking really bad. It's like every game in the fourth or fifth inning, it's just like an explosion of runs against him. And he just can't do anything, and it's just like he just starts falling apart really quick. So maybe a little bit of fatigue? You think that could have a factor?
Yeah, and then I don't know, like, I remember, I don't know if it was his last outing or the outing before that. He was trying to throw, like, I think it was when Campy was catching. He called for two changeups, and both changeups were, like, as center of the plate as they could be. One was literally down the middle, perfect in the middle square of the strike zone, and then the other one was hung again, and it got hit. He's been hanging his off speed a lot more, or he's been missing a lot more with his off speed. It's either hung or it's nowhere near the plate. It's not really a competitive pitch from what I've seen. I don't think it was his last outing that I got to watch, so hopefully he's a lot better this outing. But him throwing more fastballs is definitely concerning when you're only throwing 92 compared to when you used to throw 95, 96 earlier in the season, and I could actually blow it past someone. And then the off speed looks that much better just because they can't catch up to the fastball. But when your fastball dips down in velocity and you're not able to really control your off speed or hanging them, you're going to get hit and not be able to get out of those innings like it tends to happen in the fourth or fifth inning. Though I think his last outing, he got pulled a little early. I don't know why Bob Melvin pulled him so early, but I remember that was a pretty hot topic. Bomel doesn't do what he normally does, where he either pulls the pitcher way too soon or leaves them in there for far too long, especially against the Dodgers. You kind of have to figure out where your guys are at. I get having confidence in your guys, but when it doesn't have it, he doesn't have it, and don't leave them in there. And I know he tends to do this with Morta Hone, and I don't like it, where he'll throw him in for an inning, and then he lets Morta Hone go for a second inning, which I understand. But when Morta Hone starts to struggle in that second inning, he doesn't wait until Morta Hone's drowning to bring him out. If he's starting to tread water, pull him out, please.
I was going to say, I also feel like that's like not even just with him, though. Like, sometimes a guy will come in and it's like, dude, he doesn't have it. Pull him. Like you can just tell sometimes where it's like you don't need to have this dude work through it. Like, I also feel like for Darvish, dude, I feel like Darvish has been misused so much, like, in, like, when he gets pulled. How many innings this year has Darvish started and then not finished? Like how many times has he actually gone in and, say, pitched 6 innings, 7 innings, 8 innings, whatever it is, but then came out during the half inning. And, like, it hasn't happened that much. Like, he usually comes back out, and then he, like, walks a guy a couple guys get a hit or, you know, whatever it is, and then there's a couple guys on base, and then they pull Darvish. That happens so much where it's, like, where a lot of times I've been – and, like, for him like that, other guys, like you said, with Clevy kind of got pulled early. I really wonder if that's just because they've been noticing the trend of him kind of, like, falling apart, like, around a certain part of the game. But, yeah, like Darvish, dude, like, I really have noticed that. It's just really strange to me because he'll be looking pretty, like – he'll be looking pretty good, and then you're like, okay, what an outing from Darvish. And you're expecting him to be done, and then he comes back out. And in some instances, he's allowed, like, two runs, but he didn't even really allow them. Like, guys basically came out. So it's been pretty, I don't know. I don't really mind a lot. Like, a lot of the Bob Melvin stuff, I feel like people have kind of started criticizing him a little bit more just because the Padres haven't been playing as well. But the way he's been using the pitcher, like the starters, has been kind of odd throughout the season. Devin also asked about Josh Bell. I feel like Josh Bell, he's been like, he really was slumping horribly, right? And then he broke out and he was hitting super well for like 10 days. And then lately he's been slumping again. Now he did hit a bomb the other night, but he's kind of fallen back into like slumping mode. So, I mean, the Padres are really going to have to rely on Josh Bell being an important piece, because if he's not, that's going to be scary for this team, because they need his bat. Like, they need him to produce in the four spot. Right now, there's even a little bit more pressure just because Drury's been out, which I'm also wondering, do you know when Drury's coming back?
I don't.
Yeah.
Realistically, is Beatty still up? What is Beatty still doing up? I get Drury's hurt, but damn, there's gotta be someone else, man.
Dude, the fact that Drury was DHing the other night was hilarious. I wasn't even like mad. I was just like, yo, like, this is insane. This dude hit 100. It's one RBI. It was terrible. Me and Isaac are talking about that too. Were we all talking about that? Yeah, we were all talking about that.
Yeah, how Beatty was DHing. Baffled. It didn't make any sense.
Yeah, I would way rather have Campy in the lineup.
Yeah, I think that's what we were complaining about. Like, why isn't Campy in there? Why is Beatty hitting right now? Yeah. Why is Beatty?
Also, okay. Question for you. Do you think that Campy looked better at catcher? Because according to Twitter, he's the worst defensive catcher of all time, but I thought he looked better than he did last year.
Compared to last year, yeah, he looks better. I still don't like him behind the plate. My problem is I don't like the way he calls games. I don't think he's a good game caller. It works for some pitchers, but whenever I feel like a pitcher has a really bad outing and I look behind who's behind the plate, I feel like it's always Campy.
And even like Musgrove was saying that, like, a lot of times, like, he really relies on the catchers. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm going to let the catcher kind of tell me what to do. And like, if you're depending on a guy like that and he's not, like, he's not really like calling the game that well. And that's also something that, like, Nola, even though, like, no, you look at Nola and you're like, dude, this guy can't hit for any power, he can't throw guys out, but it's like, yeah, but he also does something that's kind of like,
that was a pretty clutch throw out too.
Okay, he did have that one, yeah, at the third. That was a dot too. I feel like that might have been Nola's first dude he's thrown out all season. Actually, okay, I actually remember one other time, maybe a second guy he's thrown out all year. But Campy's bat looks good too. I like Campy, dude. But I think you're right. Like, it's kind of hard to tell. Like, it's kind of hard to tell and be like, okay, well, this guy, how valuable is he at catcher? Because your ability to call the game is so crucial, and there's not really a way to quantify it. It's just like, ask the pitchers, I guess. But like, you know what I mean? Like you're saying, you can kind of, like, when you're looking at it, you're like, okay, there's basically like, you're seeing a trend of, oh, this starter got rocked. Oh, it's Campy. Or the whole pitching staff got rocked. Oh, it's Campy behind the plate. That's like one way you can do it. But even then, like, it's hard because, like, sometimes, like, if it's Manaea against the Dodgers,
also just been a bad outing.
Yeah, it also exactly.
Just been a bad outing. Like, the guy didn't have it that night.
Yeah, so it's hard to tell with Campy. I really wonder what they end up doing with him. But apparently, that's been like the last couple years of, okay, we are going to turn Campy into a really good defensive catcher, or not really, really good, but the goal is to improve his defense to make him an above average player behind the plate, which he's that was like all the those the main question marks. The question marks have never been about the bat, even though like if you looked at his MLB numbers, you'd say, okay, these aren't that great. But then if you actually look deeper very into limited. Them, you're there's 50 at bats. So it's kind of hard to never go.
Consistent at bats. They're always okay, go pinch it.
Yeah, he pinch hit in one game this week and started one other game.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course he didn't pitch well. Who'd he go against? Oh, Tony Gonsolin. Oh, I wonder why. Wonder why he struggled. So, yeah, I think that Campy looked a little bit better than at least the recent times he's been called up. So it'll be cool to see. I also see Lizzie said Snell and Darvish are the only pitchers having good outings. Padres pitchers have been getting up a lot of home runs. And then Isaac's in the chat. Isaac said that he can confirm that that they've had the dog in them lately. So I also agree that they have been the only guys that I've really felt comfortable when they've been on the bump. So this isn't the time to have your starting rotation start falling apart. That's for sure. But at least Darvish and Snell look
in tune for the Padres to fall apart right now, right before playoffs, have like three pitchers get hurt, sign Vince Velasquez and Jake Arrieta again to pitch in the playoffs to start.
Yeah, let's not do it like the last 2 years where the whole rotation is just like, oh, what happened? Oh, two guys got hurt?
Five bullpen games in a row to start the playoffs off. You know, I feel that's the way to go.
Yeah, not ideal. Not ideal at all. But Chase, anything else you got? I don't think we were planning on going super long today. I know we'll be going. I think we're going to be going live on Sunday, though football is on. What time is the Padres game on Sunday? Let's see.
1:10 in the middle.
1:10. Everything. So maybe we'll go like in between the afternoon games and Sunday night football, or maybe we'll go live on Monday.
That would work.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll see what the plan is. But we will be going live after that series as well. I don't think we'll have any videos out over the weekend, but hopefully we can get a couple videos out next week outside of – okay, we'll probably go live on Monday because there's no game on Monday. So we'll probably go live Monday night. But I'm hoping we can also get some other videos out too besides the lives, because lately we've almost only been doing live streams. So we can kind of get back into doing some vids because I feel like they are pretty fun when we do like specific topics. Where lately it's just been like monitoring the Padres, and that's kind of been like the only course of discussion, which is, it's good. I mean, it's interesting. They're in a playoff race, but it is, it is cool to see. And then, okay. So getting a little bit away from Padres talk, two comments about the Bills Rams game, dude, the Rams looked so bad. They looked terrible. Their O-line.
Did you see the stats for Stafford?
But it was okay, but it wasn't even like
7 times hit 50.
Okay, that's good. I like that you see that because it wasn't even really Stafford's fault. I mean, I know he threw three picks, but Stafford's gonna push the ball. He's gonna try to come back in a game like that. Like that's been Stafford's whole career, but that's what your quarterback should do if you're losing by multiple scores. You should be pushing the ball.
He didn't blitz once.
Yeah,
the Bills didn't blitz one time, and Stafford got sacked 7 times.
Dude, Chase, as Niner fans, this is the best side I could have seen week one.
It was great.
Also, Cam Akers, A-Rob, just complete non-factors. Akers had 0 yards. That is hilarious. I thought that was really funny, but I don't know. It's week one. Week one's also super weird. Like, week one is never what the rest of the season looks like. You'll have some team that'll be – okay, the Bills. Last year, the Bills lost week one. Who was it? They lost week one to someone that sucked, I believe it was.
Wasn't the Jaguars?
It might have been. It actually might have been. And then I don't think the Jags won for like 8 or 9 weeks after that. But it was something like that where they like, and it might have not even been the Bills. I think it was the Bills, though. But yeah. Have you guys – okay, another Padre question real quick. Have you noticed that Soto and Bell went on a slump since the trade and Luke Voit's batting average went up? Then we need to trade for the Nationals hitting coach. Not even trade him. Let's just sign him. Let's just sign him to work along with Michael Brodar. How about we just keep stacking up on some hitting coaches? Because it has been really frustrating to see, like, oh, this guy gets traded to the Padres, and then their numbers just plummet. But I didn't see that Luke Voit's numbers have been up.
Every trade deadline, though.
Yeah, I will also say about Luke Voit, I felt like Luke Voit's numbers would have went up if he was on the Padres too. I'm still angry at Eric Hosmer for that one. Yeah, Voit's been pretty solid. Six bombs in 100 at-bats, 250 average, walking a decent amount. Oh, my God, he struck out quite a bit, though. He struck out 36 times in just over 100 at-bats.
Yeah, but that's what Luke Voit does.
I was going to say, that's his game, though. Ace says he has Josh Allen and Diggs in fantasy. You're winning this week, that's for sure. I mean, Allen had a good game. You can ask
Isaac how he feels. Isaac started Stafford.
Who else did he? Let's see.
That's why he's all salty in the chat right now.
Hey, I'm in a league. Check this out. I'm in a league where I'm playing against Akers and A-Rob.
Please tell me that's not our league.
No, it's not. It was supposed to be a good matchup too in this league. Like the teams are pretty even. Yeah, that's about as happy as I could be for going into Thursday Night Football. Yeah, Chase, anything else you want to add before we take off?
Devin mentioned it. Abrams has looked pretty good in his past 7 to 10 games with the Nationals. If he continues to do that, you know, good for him. I want him to succeed, but it would really suck to see him do it not in a Padres uniform.
Yeah, especially because we were so high on Abrams, dude. Like, we were really high on Abrams. Enough where, like, Abrams came up and wasn't, like, immediately a star. And everyone's like, oh, you guys were way too high on him. It's like, guys, you got to be patient. One other thing I want to say before we take off. You see that Samuel Zavala is hitting, like, he has like an 850 OPS and he barely is 18 years old. I saw someone tweet it.
Ridiculous. Remember his DSL numbers?
They were insane. Summer League numbers? Yeah. They were insane. No, he's going to be a top 100 prospect one day. I feel like I'm pretty confident in him. Dude, the Padres farm system still has some dudes. They just traded a lot of they traded a lot of their best guys. But they have some guys coming up. The problem is everyone's just so young. Oh, like this is our top guy. It's like, how old is he? 17, 18. Like no one's really that close to contributing besides Aggie and Campy. That's about it.
Maybe Kevin Copps.
Dude, but he
hasn't pitcher wise, we're pretty screwed. I mean, hey.
Well,
we're gonna resign a lot of cheap deals.
But the draft this year is gonna put a bunch of guys into the Padres like top 10 list that were drafted. Like three guys are gonna be in the Padres, three or four guys that we drafted are gonna be in the top 10. But they're just not close.
Oh, for sure. But they're still a couple years away.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Also, Victor Lizarraga, I think that's how you pronounce his name. He's been really good this year. Another guy being really young, kind of playing at like probably what should be too high of a competition for him. So Devin also says Lamar Jackson, the Ravens didn't get an extension done. Okay, so I want to bring this up too. I was thinking about this. If somehow... And bear with me. This is like a most hypothetical situation, but I thought about it today and I was just like, dude, this would be insane. If somehow the Dolphins, Tua sucks, if the Dolphins were able to swing a trade for Lamar and they would have one Mike McDaniel as their head coach, who is a insane run game, like play designer. No. If they could have Mike McDaniel as their head coach, Lamar is their quarterback. This would probably be 2 years also because he's going to be franchised this next year if he doesn't get a deal. Like it'll be the year after that they would move him. Tyreek Hill, Waddle.
Giuseppe.
And if somehow say they suck this year, because I think they have their pick. They don't have their pick, huh? Damn, they don't have their pick.
No, they give it to the Chiefs.
I was going to say if somehow they could get Bijan Robinson, he's the Texas running back. He's insane. I was like thinking, I don't care who's on the O-line. That is like the greatest run team ever because that would be so ridiculous. But say they even draft a good running back or do something like that. Dude, that would be sick for the Dolphins. And I think Chase just disappeared on me. But I think that was kind of the last thing I had anyways, guys. So I think I'm probably going to call it. Hopefully there's a game tonight. I don't know if that's going to be the case. But Potter's got to take 2 or 3 at one of these times against the Dodgers. It has not been pretty in these matchups. So that's going to do it. Thank you guys for hopping on. And we will be live. We'll be going live on Monday and hopefully have some more content out this upcoming week than we have in the past couple weeks because it just hasn't been that much that we're kind of been used to pre-trade deadline. So I think it's going to do it. Thank you guys for hopping on, and hopefully the game is not rained out tonight.